Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He is Thomas Frank Carr. I am Jim Galante, and we are talking Penn State, Ohio State football. And T. Frank, it wouldn't be a Penn State, Ohio State football game without some officiating controversy.
It wouldn't be a Big Ten game.
that's probably the case. And by the way, our one taste of Southeast Conference officiating with the Penn State-Auburn game tells us maybe it's universal through all of college football. What I'm fascinated with is it always seems like with Penn State, Ohio State, that there's something bizarre, some bizarre call that happens. So In this one, it was the snap infraction. And I've been trying to find some of the information. I looked up the rule. I've seen what some other folks have said about it. I believe it was one of the NFL officials tweeted out, and I'm seeing Ohio State fans pointing to this. He said it was a legitimate call because the ball slipped out of his hands. I'm not sure I've read anywhere in the rule book that the ball slipped out of his hands, so it can't be a snap. What was your take on that call?
I mean, I looked up the definition of a snap infraction, and I did not go to the NCAA rule book. I don't have that sort of time. So I did what most people do, and I Googled snap infraction. So here's what I found as a definition. A snap infraction is a dead ball penalty that occurs when the center simulates a snap or a move of the ball after touching other than when snapping it. So any movement of the football that isn't a snap is a snap infraction, because it's what the center for Ohio State did later, where he snapped the ball but didn't snap the ball because he was all jittery after what happened and he got nervous and he went before the quarterback was ready. So that's a snap infraction. If you move the football in any way to simulate a snap without snapping it, that is an infraction. It's the equivalent of a false start on the center that is specific to the football. When you actually complete the motion of snapping as the center, that's the start of the play. It doesn't matter if the quarterback is ready or not. That's the whole point. And he fully snapped the football. It came out of his hand. That's a fumble. There's just no other way around that. And I understand where the crew obviously saw something, and it wasn't like they ignored the fact that and just gave the ball back to Ohio State where it was, but they made the wrong call there. That's as simple as it is.
I want to add one other item that I read from the rule book, doing exactly what you said, T. Frank, Googling snap infraction, and this came up. If during any backward motion of a legal snap, in other words, sending the ball backwards, not forward, you know, with a flinch, if the ball slips from the snapper's hand, it becomes a backward pass and is in play. So if you want to talk, hey, the ball came out of his hands, slipped out of his hands, literally it says ball slips from the snapper's hand, it's in play. So to me, that's as on point as you're going to find for it. And I think it's when Penn State plays Ohio State, they have to find something obscure to call, or it won't be a Penn State Ohio State game. Oh, and by the way, it has to go, you know, against Penn State. There was one other call I wanted to go ahead.
Sure. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the one other play that people have talked about. I believe it was Lovett, went out of bounds, came back in, and the rule is you can't do that. You can't go out of bounds, come back in, and be the first guy to touch the ball. The exception being if you were forced out. And I don't know what that rule is when it says forced out. It looked like Lovett was going to go out of bounds on his own anyway. But the Ohio State defender, I believe, did touch him and kind of led him that way out of bounds. How was that call? How should that call be interpreted?
I don't want to appear as an expert on officiating, given what we've already talked about. To me, in this moment, Penn State fans, ask yourself. You saw it. You've watched football for a long time. Did it look like John Lovett was forcibly pushed out of bounds, or was he drifting that way anyway? In the spirit of what actually happened, I think it was the right call because, you know, it looked like a punt return. It looked like a punt return where the guy was being squeezed to the sideline and he didn't forcibly maintain contact to stay in bounds. He drifted out of bounds. And yeah, maybe the guy touched him and you want it to be that. I understand you want it to be that, but realistically, he was going out of bounds. If you're looking for the game-saving play or the game-saving call, and I understand that Ohio State got one that prevented a turnover, the point is to get these things right, not to get them even. And to me, that was the right call. By the way, and this is kind of how I feel about officiating in general, within the bounds of the normal stuff, like holding, pass interference, defensive holding, things that are happening during the play that you're actually looking for, other than that, I feel like when it comes to officiating, it is a little bit about complaining about the weather. There's literally nothing you can do to control this if you're a football fan or one of the coaching staffs.
Well, the only question, and I think most Penn State fans are okay with that call. It was the snap infraction that they had the issue with. The only
that one
thing
was very wrong. Yeah,
with the whether he's forced out of bounds or not, all the other things like what you mentioned, like holding or better yet, pass interference. We all know that there can be some contact, but if you have that backhand around the receiver's hip, they're going to call it all the time. You know, we've seen enough of these plays to know that being forced out of bounds, that's not a common call. So we don't know how close it's called. Is it one of those where, hey, no matter what, if the defender touches you, boom, we're going to call it forced out or not. We don't have in our own history enough of those.
Yeah, truthfully, I was not familiar with the rule because in the NFL, if you go out of bounds whatsoever, you are an ineligible receiver. There is no coming back in bounds. You're just done. Stay in bounds or be out of the play. And I'm truthfully, until Saturday, I did not know because it came up twice with Keandre Lambert-Smith. And when they said you have to be pushed out of bounds to maintain, you know, your eligibility, I thought that was wrong. I had never heard that before. So I agree with what you're saying. Like, you don't know the boundaries of the rule, but I guess from my previous context of that rule, I thought if you go out of bounds whatsoever, you're out of bounds. Like, you are no longer an eligible receiver. So to me, it was not egregious either way because it was what it was. So yeah, it's an unfortunate situation on a play where Penn State already had basically lost the rep. Like, they got pressure, Clifford was flushed, it was sort of a Hail Mary situation, and the result is I was not surprised by the result.
In the couple minutes we have left, I want to get to the defense real quickly and just a question or two about Maryland. Let's start with the defense. Much, much better this week. They gave up a couple big plays, but you're going up against Ohio State. You're bound to give up a couple big plays, correct?
Yeah. The thing that was most surprising to me was that I had said earlier in the week that you are not a good red zone defense. Offenses are just bad in the red zone. So they can execute between the 20s, but once the windows condense, especially for teams like, you know, that don't have high-level athletes or high-level quarterbacks specifically that can read the defense and thread the needle to get the ball where it needs to be, most times it's a failing of the offense to execute on a slightly higher level. Penn State made me very wrong there, where they were just better than the most explosive offense in the country in the red zone. I thought that with all those methodical drives that Ohio State would go on, they would score touchdowns. And they didn't, and that is a full credit to the secondary and to the defensive line and to the linebackers for playing the best game they've played so far this season. And it was incredibly impressive to watch them stymie that team for four quarters outside of three big plays.
And I know we're focusing on some of the negative things. We didn't get to all the positives on defense, but I did want to.
You have less to talk about when the game is good.
Yes, but let's look forward to Maryland. I'm of the feeling if we've got the good Penn State versus the bad Penn State, Penn State's probably a solid winner here. And good Penn State versus bad Penn State, you typically means good Sean Clifford versus bad Sean Clifford. But you tell me, what should we expect to see with the Penn State-Maryland matchup? What sticks out to you?
So I guess the thing that I've noticed from Maryland on film, and this is not consistent, but they're built very similarly to Penn State in a lot of ways. Offensively, they want to throw the football. Taliotunga-Valoa has thrown the ball more than any other quarterback in the Big Ten this year. He has more short completions. He has more deep completions than anybody. So they like to throw the football, and he's very good. He is one of the two best quarterbacks in the Big Ten between him and C.J. Stroud. On the flip side, the defense, they like to pressure and play man coverage. They want to play on an island and send five or six after the quarterback. So to me, it comes down to, can Penn State block up that pressure? And that will determine whether Sean Clifford has the ability to complete passes. Because we've seen under pressure, he does not make great decisions. Now, if this week he's more healthy and can clear the pocket on those plays, there's a lot of running room. There is a lot of running room. He tried to do that a couple times on Saturday against Ohio State, and he just couldn't break through the line. They had better athletes. They had that contained, and he wasn't fully healthy to break tackles as he has in the past. So to me, it's going to come down to the play between the pressure of Maryland and Sean Clifford, because if he can either evade that pressure or they can bottle it up, that leaves Keandre Lambert-Smith and Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson one-on-one in the secondary, and I don't know that that's a strength of the Maryland defense. The only other caveat I'd say is that Sean Clifford has struggled to throw the ball against man coverage and be accurate on those plays consistently. So there's a bit of a gamble there. It's a little up in the air in my mind about Penn State. I'm still going through a lot of the film to see the details of who is the weak point back there, but it should be a good game. I don't think this is a rollover Maryland team.
Let's go to the other side of the ball. You hit on a little bit that the first of all, kudos to you for being able to pronounce the quarterback's name. I still call him Tua's brother. When Penn State's on defense, when you say Maryland wants to throw the ball, I would think that's attacking Penn State defense's strength.
Yes, it is. But the caveat is that, and by the way, I think I'm saying it right. I'm just saying it with confidence. That's the only difference. He can hit those big plays. So if Tre Castro-Fields, Daquan Hardy, Joey Porter Jr., if they're a step behind and Rakeem Jarrett or Dante Demas Jr. get behind them, then he can hit them and he can hit big plays. Now, they didn't do that against Ohio State, so you would think they can do it again.
Okay, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around, quarter number three. We've got your questions and we're going to ask T. Frank. Fans are back and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.